Hi friends, welcome to the Wabi Sabi Pod. This is episode number 153. I hope you all had a fabulous weekend and you're all groggy today, just like me. I know, losing or gaining an hour out of nowhere. It's so, I guess you could say, maybe necessary for farming or safety with light. But I find myself like so tired the next day after spring forward. So hang in there. We'll get through this together. I don't have my singing bowl on me right now. Truth be told, I'm just too lazy to go grab it. And I have some really good books to share with you today. So I have those in my hands along with my laptop where I take notes during the pod with me instead. Today, there's a lot to review, and we're going to do another one of those pods where we do a little bit of a deep dive on self-improvement, because I know that we could all use the help right now for multiple reasons. I do want you to open your heart, mind, your eyes and ears to improving in multiple ways that you may not be seeing. I also want to reveal some truth so that you can see a different perspective. Obviously, this is an opinion, but also I do fact check all of my information when I put it out here and make sure that we're giving you correct information, especially when it comes to mental health and wellness. I'm going to read a little piece from Dr. Wayne Dyer's book called Being in Balance, 9 Principles for Creating Habits to Match Your Desires. And let me know if this resonates with any of you. If you had to search for light, the one thing you'd obviously shun would be the darkness. You'd know for certain that spending your time analyzing dark places and wallowing around blindly in the dark wouldn't be the best way to discover and experience the light. Now, exchange the words light and dark in this example for the words abundance and scarcity. It's the same exact logic. You can't find abundance by analyzing and wallowing around in scarcity consciousness. Yet, this is often why a disparity exists between your desire for prosperity and the lack of it in your life. Review the observation offered by Ernest Holmes in the quote at the beginning of this chapter. Quote, as we express life, we fulfill God's law of abundance. End quote. Think of this as a legally binding dictum from God, as a law. Even St. Paul observed that God is able to provide for you with every blessing in abundance. I draw the conclusion that prosperity is something that's always available, because this is descriptive of the source from which we are originated. If we came from unlimited abundance, then we must be what we came from. Scarcity isn't a problem because of where you were born or what your parents accumulated or the state of the economy. So the so-called problem of scarcity is actually due to the simple fact that you tipped your belief away from your original connection to unlimited abundance and began to live and analyze scarcity. The equivalent of darkness in the first paragraph of this chapter, I advocate for making a shift towards analyzing the light of prosperity and correcting this imbalance between what you desire and the way you're living. Now, this is a great practice. This is my end quote for Dr. Wayne Dyer, really quickly on a pause. This is where I want you to think about this as well. Like, have you actually been living with a scarcity mindset, whether it's love or finance, finding a home, blaming the economy for where you are, blaming others for where you are, finding loopholes as to why you're not successful? This is something that we all do when it's called scarcity mindset. And what Dr. Wayne Dyer is simply pointing out to us is he's saying that if we came from abundance and if we came from the source of ultimate abundance, which I believe he calls the conclusion that prosperity is something that's always available because it's descriptive of the source from which we originated. And if we came from unlimited abundance, then we must be what we came from. Now, I suppose I forgot the mindset of unlimited abundance because through the years, I've gotten trapped in the mindset like that if I don't have my own show, or if I don't have a huge following, or if I don't have a lot of likes or followers, that I'm not good enough. And I'm always comparing myself to my peers, those who are famous, those who have their own shows, those who have an abundance of maybe like money from their parents or their family or their loved one. These are all things that I think we all tend to look at in scarcity mindset. And it's not like I'm trying to live in this, you know, field in my mind where I don't think there's enough. But my sister indeed tried to teach me this a long time ago, because my parents loved coupon clipping when we were really young. They loved shopping for a deal and a discount. And my sister says, quote unquote, it was almost like it was worshipped in our household to save money, end quote. And she was right. And I do have an entire chapter where I narrate this in my book, Spirited, on Audible Originals, where I actually open up very deeply about my financial situation without being a braggy, boasty, or ego-driven person. I factually talk about black and white math, finance, investments, banking, loans, you know, income in, income out, like taxes, really viable information that led me to believe that I had scarcity mindset. Also, it doesn't help that a lot of clients pay people like you and I very late. If you were, you know, on a W-2 format for work, you're probably getting paid every 2 weeks. Lucky you. I'm envious. I don't get that. I don't even know when my next paychecks are going to come, and that's the truth. I think it's important for us to remember that if you choose to be a freelancer or run your own small business or run your own medium-sized or large business, you're going to have to wait for the checks to come in unless you have some sort of regular income. So we're going to set this up so that we can figure out ways to fulfill our needs and change our mindset together today. Here's where this continues in the book with Dr. Wayne Dyer. How you avoid expressing life and fail to fulfill God's law of abundance. In order to express life and be the recipient of God's blessing of abundance, you need to know that when you have thoughts and behaviors that unbalance your desires, which we just talked about, the voice of your balance position is something that I've repeatedly written about in this book. He goes on to say, you become what you think about all day long. Here's a list of out of balance type situations. Dwelling on what's missing from your life. I mean, huge duh. Conversations that are heavily weighted on what's lacking in your life. Contemplating on whoever will listen about all the reasons you've been prevented from having more. That sounds like me on this podcast. Cultivating an inner picture of yourself as a person who's just plain unlucky. Totally, I think a lot of us fall into that category for sure. Because we are constantly comparing ourselves to others on social media and other platforms. Being the thief of joy would be comparison, and that is what we do. And I think we have to figure out ways together and practices and rituals where we're not doing that anymore. He goes on to say that these ways of thinking and being set into motion an energy pattern that attracts precisely what you activate into your life. If you think scarcity, you'll create scarcity. If you talk to others about your lack, you'll just attract more lack. If you analyze your shortages, then more shortages will appear. He says, I'm aware that this may seem simplistic. Oh yeah, that was why I just said duh like 30 times in my head and out loud. So that is, just change your thinking and money will come flying into your window. But before dismissing this, consider that an out-of-balance existence is asking you, and trust me, side note, you guys, there's a reason why I'm reading this chapter to you right now, because you, my friend, need to hear it. Consider that an out-of-balance existence is asking you to notice what barriers and resistance you've erected in a world where God is available to provide for you with all blessings in abundance. We move on to what he says as removing your resistance. Your desire to attract prosperity represents a highly spiritual request. It's perfectly attuned to the law of abundance from which you originated. Your imbalances are energies in the form of thoughts that you mistakenly believe will bring out the desired prosperity. Following are seven of the most common thoughts that make the manifestation of prosperity virtually impossible. I call these the unmagnificent seven, because each belief practically guarantees that you'll stay stuck in scarcity in the way that Ayn Rand describes in the quote at the beginning of this chapter. Here they are. The degree to which you think is the determining factor in creating a life of prosperity. So here are the seven thought systems that will keep you out of balance by Dr. Wayne Dyer. Number one, it's not God's will. By blaming God for not having what you need or desire, you justify a built-in excuse. Oh, that is not good. Okay, let's move on to, I don't think I've done that before. Number two, there is a limited supply. So this is the thought that represents enormous resistance to a restoration of balance on the prosperity and scarcity scale. So the belief that there's only a limited supply, no, not true. Number three, I don't deserve it. The simple rule of thumb, when you believe that you're not worthy of prosperity flowing into your life, then you'll attract precisely what you do believe, which is, of course, a flow of scarcity and lack. You do deserve it, by the way, you guys. You truly do deserve it. Number four, I have limited abilities and talents. If you hold a belief in your mind that you don't possess the ability or talent to attract abundance, then you've weighted your balance scale with that lifetime supply of scarcity. And let me tell you, number four, side note from me about talents and abilities. This whole pod will always be all about talents and abilities. You have so many great talents to share with the world. I know a lot of you. I talk to a lot of you. A lot of you send me thank you notes and love letters and DMs, and you post about the pod and you share it with your friends. I know who a lot of you are. You are talented at communication. You are talented with your empathetic skills. You are talented with cooking. You are talented with fashion. You are talented with editing, producing, directing, podcasts, listening, writing, starting your own wellness channels, or maybe websites, doing affiliates, sales calls. Don't you dare ever put that pencil down and stop doing what you're doing, because you are so good at it and you are so worthy of success. There is no such thing in my mind as a limited set of talents and abilities, because you have the infinite source of being able to learn forever and ever and ever. You are forever a student. Number five, he says that a lot of us tell ourselves, I've never been lucky. The universe that you live in operates at an energy, and energy alone. Nothing happens until something moves, says Albert Einstein. Everything is vibrating, even what seems to be motionless. Your universe functions with the law of attraction, meaning that energy matches up with similar energy. And I totally believe this, because I worked really hard to get to where I am, and I worked harder than most people, which meant I just spent an exorbitant amount of hours and time dedicated to my craft. Whether that was good or bad, I don't know. I'm not here to sort of judge that belief system, but I did know that, just like the Japanese, because I was raised by a Japanese mom and family, was that if I had manpower, womanpower, willpower, and I worked harder than other people, because that's all Japan has. They don't have any natural resources. They just have brain power. If I worked harder than others, I could be able to move the system in the way that I knew would work in my favor one day. But it didn't come without believing in my talents and abilities, and also saying to myself, well, I guess a lot of people that I've seen around me have just gotten lucky. And that phrase has been passed around a lot in media and publishing and talent and fashion and just being in front or in back of the camera. So some people are wildly successful and they like to say it was luck. I think it could actually be that you believe you belong in the certain realm, and then you start vibrating and attracting energy with people that are aligned with you. because I know the people that have come up with me in the ranks, like, we are all crushing it together. And there is a sense of currency in a form where if you earn your worth and your space in the industry, you can basically fit in with all the stars, if that makes sense. The higher my vibration has been through confidence, through showing people my talents, through showing what I can do, the more I attract people like Selena Gomez, Dan Levy, Anne Hathaway, all just in the last 2 years through random work gigs. I honestly don't know how they come, but it's a frequency and a wavelength that we have to give out. And I don't operate off of my ego. It certainly has gotten the best of me. Maybe lately from jet lag or just being a little bit overworked with deadlines. And I often tell myself to, I need to focus on softening a little bit more because I am such a hardcore New Yorker. And if that sounds like you too, like you're just a hardcore driver, you might want to focus a little bit more on softening as well. But in no way, shape, or form do I think if you vibrate low, like on a low frequency, that you're going to move up in the ranks. I think if you talk shit about other people, I think if you do things the wrong way, if you don't play your cards right, if you're really poor with your finances, if you treat other people really poorly, if you are not a good person and kind, if you do not spend time adding value to other people's lives, if you do not help others with nothing in return. I do also believe that if you're doing a lot of self-work, like therapy, heart space work, spending time exercising, eating really well, I think that what happens is the universe or God or the angels or whatever you believe, everything starts working out in your favor. Buddha, I don't know, maybe you pray to Hindu gods or you're Muslim or whoever or wherever you're from. The belief system is this: if you're a good, kind person and you're doing self-work all the time, constantly, maybe not perfectly wabi-sabi, but just at least if you're in the mindset of being present and being alive, you may find yourself in a position where you say, holy shit, I can't believe I attracted this or that. I mean, I've been a SAG-AFTRA member for, I don't know, maybe around 20 years, and I think, oh my God, it's so crazy because I just don't pull the card of how special that is. We've also won, you know, dozens of awards through the last 20 years of work, and I never even thought they were that special. But I'm trying to keep them in the back of my framework so that the level of excellence that we do with the work that we put out there, whether it's TV, publishing, food, recipes, beauty, wellness, it will always be at the highest level that I can operate at. And maybe that's another reason why I'm not married and I don't have kids. You know, I often think about these things. So what we're putting out there is really important. Maybe what we put out there and what we wish for and what we think about can come back. Because also, if you are looking to fill your heart space, you know, I had dated so many different men through the years and felt very, very grateful that I was able to do so because I learned a lot. It's kind of like trying every color of the rainbow or tasting every fucking ice cream flavor you could possibly try until the right one came along. And my sister and I both want to always reiterate to people, neither of us found a longtime partner until we were, or one that lasted, for instance, until we were like 37, 38. So don't rush the river. Like, things are going to happen in the essence of time, in your own divine timing, and everyone's timing is different. And just because other people are in a different relationship or they're in a different wavelength or realm, just whatever you do, don't compare, because it's never going to be apples to apples when it comes to life. So don't you dare believe that things are about luck, because frankly, I think that they're a little bit more, I'd like to give God or Buddha or the universe a little bit more credit, that there's got to be some sort of frequency and vibration. And those who are doing self-work and who are kind to others, I do still believe like good things happen to good people. And hard work does pay off, especially when it's done the right way. Number six, it's always been this way. Oh yeah, well, might I add that I have felt that for many years, especially in old school media with the gatekeepers. Dr. Wayne Dyer goes on to say, when you use your personal history to justify why you're presently out of balance on the abundance scale, you're really saying, I have a long history of attracting scarcity into my life, and I intend to continue doing precisely the same thing, thinking that the past is responsible for your continuing insufficiency is a major source of resistance. You've probably been taught that if you don't pay attention to the mistakes of the past, you're bound to repeat them. Here's my take, as Dr. Wayne Dyer says, on that advice. Keeping your thoughts on the mistakes of the past guarantees that you'll continue to manifest them in the present. I think you're better off tossing out your personal history of any deficiencies that have surfaced in your life. Refuse to think about what's failed to materialize unless you're hoping for more of the same. Avoid talking about your bleak past. Don't identify yourself as somebody whose childhood or early adulthood was characterized by a dearth and paucity. And paucity. Well, whatever that means, I'll look it up later. Fancy words, Dr. Wayne Dyer. Instead, look upon your entire history at a series of steps you absolutely needed to take in order to bring you to the present realization of your endless potential for abundance. Be grateful for all that failed to show up. That includes the shitty ex-boyfriends. He didn't say that, I did. Then shift from resistance to the direction of manifesting your desires and rebalance your thinking so that it matches up with those desires. And affirm, here's the last part of this from the book today. It is my intention to think thoughts that vibrate perfectly with my desire to be abundant in all areas of my life. I release any and all thoughts that put my focus and, therefore, my pulling power on what has or hasn't been. This is the key to restoring balance. It's interesting to think about this in reflection. I think a lot of us live with scarcity mindset, which is something I want us to pull together today and think about modern ways that we can alleviate this kind of suffering. And by the way, back to the words, I am a comm major from Long Beach State, interpersonal communications and organizational communications major. I'm not necessarily the best writer or the best linguist, you know, focused writer. I'm not very good at editorial pieces as in like editing. My partner is way smarter than me with words. I believe he studied mythology and language and linguists, whatever the word is, sorry. But you guys get it. What I want to tell you is for so long, I thought it was stupid because I also had a sister that went to Berkeley who was 3 years older than me and what I thought was the epitome of perfect and perfection according to my parents. My dad is one of the smartest people I know, went to Hartford Tech, came here when he was 11, was drafted into the military, like was a nuclear auditor for multiple years, and my mom is the smartest person next to him. She has a degree from university in Tokyo and became a school teacher very young and then continued to teach in the US, but taught Japanese in English, which is like a mind fuck. But all this to say that my family was like all academics and they were very smart and education was paramount. And I really believed for the longest time, especially little Candace, because I was told this, I believed that I was stupid. So even when I was writing, I would send anything that I would write for spelling and grammar to a friend or my sister, and I didn't get the courage to become more confident in my writing, and I never believed that I was smart until I became a lot older and I started to realize I don't even know how I got so far ahead. And that's actually the truth. I didn't even realize that I was ahead because I just put my head down and worked for so long, from New York to Brooklyn, back to LA, to Japan, Australia, and back. And here I am, you know, almost 42 and tripping out over like how my eyes can still well up into tears thinking about how I thought it was dumb, because I also had a tough time. Like, I hated taking tests. I'm a bad test taker. And I also have, like, learning disabilities, which can make anyone feel like they are dumb. But you're not. It's just that you learn in a different way. You know, you could show me puzzles, three different puzzles when I was testing to be a line cook at Roy's. And you could tell me go to one, go to three, go to two, go to one, go to three, go to five. Or, there's no five, but you know what I mean. And I would do all of them and do all of them well. So this technique works really well on the Today Show and live TV. I have to cook sometimes like three different things, five different things at the same time with four different hosts near me. And I can do it because my brain is able to go from one to three to two to three to one to two to three and back to one and no problem with people asking me questions in between. So the magnificent part of intelligence is that it comes in different ways and different forms. You couldn't expect that any two people would have the same source of intelligence. So I need you to believe in yourself more than anyone, because when Barbara Corcoran talks about her learning disabilities when she was young, and this woman is a multi-millionaire 10 times over. I mean, you will see Corcoran real estate all over New York because she's a queen. We have to believe that academia is not the only form of intelligence out there. My writing is perfectly fine, wabi-sabi. It is what it is. It's having a conversation with a person as we are now, and that is my style of writing. I didn't create that. It is exactly how my mind and body likes to communicate with people. Like, I'm your best friend, and I've always written that way. And whether people want to say X, Y, or Z about you, don't you ever let them discourage you from pursuing your dreams. The realm I was talking about earlier is a way for you to measure a different form of like currency in your life. Currency can be the people you surround yourself with and where you're going on your path. And you have to make sure you take care of those around you that you love and you let go of the rest. Like, you have to take care of the people around you that support you and love you and make your life really easy, and just like very gently and gracefully let go of the rest. Because at the end of the day, that stuff won't matter, and you don't want people to weigh you down. As my old therapist used to say, you are like a lifeguard and you can't let people take you down. You have to just keep going and think about the people that would drown you out, you know, if they're hanging on to you like an anchor. It's hard because there's so many analogies that we can use, but the best thing that I can tell you right now in the sense of security in a time of instability, especially where we can easily blame the economy for the problems that we have. If you are globally listening, you probably already are aware that the inflation of prices, especially for real estate in the States, has gone up so far that people like me, I can't even imagine putting all of my money down on a home right now because it would seem I have scarcity mindset. And with inflation, it's like interest rates could go up or they could go down. But the other thing that's really scary is, you know, as a millennial, I don't want to get landlocked anywhere. I'm very different from most people. I never went with the current. I almost always went on my own path and forged my own way and used a machete through the bushes and the, you know, I was like fucking tearing it up. It was, looking back, it was so crazy. But I will tell you guys this, sometimes you're going to have to take the path of least resistance. And sometimes you'll have to take that path of the most resistance. And either way, I think you should make the decision with your heart, and it will always guide you into the right place. And like we had spoken about on this, in this book with Dr. Wayne Dyer, being in balance. Sometimes these things don't work out for you because it was the right path for you. So don't hold on to the things that weren't meant for you so tightly. That includes that guy, girl, whoever it was, he, she, they, them, It really is so hard when you have a death grip on this idea of what your life is just supposed to be. It can be an infinite amount of things, ways, people, places, things. You just don't know what's going to happen. And as my dad always says, we should be so excited because life is always full of surprises that are around the corner. If you want more information on how to work through finances, please check out the finance chapter in Audible on Spirited. If you go to audible.com/spirited, the book will pop up. Lastly, I will read you a few quotes to think about. To see and listen to the wicked is already the beginning of wickedness. Confucius. Wherever good you have is all from God. Whatever evil is all from yourself. The Quran. So interesting. And Dr. Wayne Dyer says, on a daily basis, we hear from a variety of sources that our world's turned upside down and that evil exists everywhere and terrorism is a way of life, etc. People seem determined to kill each other in an increasingly violent way while young children are recruited to become, let's just say, part of war. Radio, television, TV, news, online, an endless cascade of man's inhumanity to man, family members gone berserk, teenagers on killing rampages in their schools, and terror cells rocking Earth's consciousness everywhere from train stations to places of worship. Which my hand is on my heart. Yes, we've all seen and heard of these awful things that happen in our country and all over the world today, especially war. He goes on to say, I could go on describing the ways in which we'll continually be bombarded by the media, but I'm going to stop because I'd be violating the central premise of this chapter. The point I'm making here is that we seem to live in a totally out of balance world where our desires of her feeling peaceful and challenged are always there with the myriad of non-peaceful energies. Those things are considered newsworthy, but we do have a choice in this matter, and we can choose to realign ourselves energetically with our desire to live in this world peacefully, regardless of what's going on around. And in spite of the non-peaceful energy we're so often subjected to, we can begin by deciding to maintain a tranquil existence within ourselves, even when others promote fear, anger, and hatred about this violent planet. After all, a massive collective effort throughout the history of humanity by those in positions of authority has taught individuals whom to fear and even worse, whom to hate. If we'd been alive in America back in the 1750s, we'd have been told that it was our patriotic duty to hate the French as well as the Native Americans. 25 years later, we've been told that it was okay to stop hating the French, but now we are obliged to hate the British. And now fast forward about 90 years later, if we lived in the South, we'd be told to hate those in the North, and Northerners likewise to the Southerners, even if they were related by blood. Oh, yay, yay. All he's saying at the end of this, and it includes also not liking the Japanese. Yes, terrible. Removing yourself from all hate lists. Arthur Eggendorf writes in Healing from the War. He offers some advice that's pertinent to our efforts to rebalance our life and to live peacefully. Only together will we create a culture that supersedes the cycles of battle and retreat, not through our fear of war, but through mastering a superior way to live. The seed of this culture is the determination within individuals and then small groups and communities to devote our lives to the greatest vision of all time, not to wait for a savior one day to deliver us, not to wait for a government to pass truly just laws, not to wait for a revolution to the right or wrongs of a cruel world, and not to mount a crusade to overpower some distant source of evil beyond ourselves. Each of us, singly with all others, is answerable for creating joy through the way our lives unfold here and now. And once this purpose becomes primary, we can turn to the endless job of bringing well-being to others, justice and integrity to our government, and instituting constructive programs for change here and elsewhere. When inspired in this way, we do not have to wait for the final outcome before we've nourished. There is no finer way to live or die. And remember, again, that was from Arthur Eggendorf, who wrote Healing from the War. So if you are deeply affected right now with the war and the wars that are all going on in our world, I'm thinking about you, being a little advocate for peace, being an advocate of love, and being an advocate of the light will always be the way to healing. As he says, no better way to live or die than to just be. And let's remember this. This is me talking now. You don't have to be an angel or a hoity-toity, like, you know, straight-edge person in order to be a good Samaritan, good wellness practitioner, or kind individual in this world. You can choose to serve others and be wild and free and be yourself. I often curse on this pod. I've always been a bit of a wild one. I've changed over the years, of course, but the juxtaposition of where I'm at with Wabi Sabi means I was a once former party girl who would do weekend benders and drugs and all kinds of things. And now I often contemplate in nature or just in my apartment in Brooklyn while writing and thinking to myself, what the fuck is going on? P.S. I just want to be in my pajamas all day and eat vegan donuts and watch 90 Day Fiancé. I mean, things just do change. But all this to say that you can do your part, be who you are, live where you are, do your own thing, stay in your own lane, learn from your mom, dad, wisdom of others, learn from those who have passed. I often say Dr. Wayne Dyer and Thich Nhat Hanh had the right idea. Tara Brach, she's still alive, doing great work. These are real, real individuals of wellness and wisdom to follow in the world of the light. So let's think about who we're listening to, what we're paying attention to, where our attention is going. Let's remember that there are social media apps that are highly addictive, very bad, and they will not improve your life in any way. Even if monetarily, I guarantee you the balance won't even be worth it in the long run. Even if I could take $1 million from posting all over TikTok, it wouldn't even be worth it because it would destroy my mental health, wellness, and peace. I mean, the whole app, when you open it up, it's like a massive headache. I'm just not interested. Maybe it's for young people. But I do have people, girls on my team, that have told me about serious side effects from it. Suicidal thoughts, body dysmorphia, addiction, depression, anxiety. And these are real things to think about. They're not things, if I ever have a child, if I'd ever be so lucky to have a child, they're not things I would want my child to participate in. So I leave you with this. Don't put all of your eggs in one business basket ever, because you don't know when that basket is going to disappear. Make sure that you focus on your own business, which means newsletter, website, podcast. Be a good Samaritan and do things the right way. Be careful when you're looking at who owns the establishments that you're providing work, income, content, etc. for. Like, look it up deeply. There's a lot of propaganda that's also going on, and I don't appreciate being sent messages on my social media asking me to do things. It seems so crazy, but propaganda is a real thing. And I think because I am a granddaughter of a POW and a daughter of a Vietnam veteran, I think it's important that we look at what governments do to control people. My father will talk my ear off about what Stalin did to millions of innocent civilians. And it is important to look at the governments that are controlling some of these apps. So keep your eyes open, keep your mind clear, keep it sharp, do your research, protect yourself, don't be a dummy, and grow your business in different ways. Pretend that app doesn't even exist anymore, guys. I love all of you, which is why I'm bringing this up to you like your big sister and poking you right now. Be weary. Things are going to change. And remember to be the advocate of change and to just roll with it. As Charles Darwin always said, those who are able to adapt to change are those who will survive and thrive. All right, you guys, I am losing steam because of the damn time change. Have a great week. I'll see you on the Today Show on March 27th. As a favor, please, again, write a 5-star review for this pod on Spotify and Apple. It's good karma. And also sign up for my newsletter at CandiceKumai.com. We are still working on the shop page and we'll have a new store up soon. And we're also hiring in multiple fields. But if you work in admin or in education, or if you work and you're looking for a cool job on the side in graphic arts, video editing, or joining our team in New York City or remote, just send me your resume at info@CandiceKumai.com. Also, sign up for my broadcast channel on Instagram. You'll see pics of my mom. You'll see pics of my cat, Shohei. And I often share a little bit more personal shit on there. Just because I'm not an over-poster. Obviously, you guys know that. All right, have a great week. I'll be working on some awesome face masks made with papaya, coconut oil, milk, hair masks, and also foot scrubs and hand scrubs that will be fabulous coming up soon. Have a fab week. I said that 30 times again, but I truly love you guys. And remember, Wabi Sabi, to take good care of yourself, to stay in the light, be the balance, work on those talents and accolades, have the right energy in the right realm, and also be careful where you put all your eggs in your business basket. Have like 4 baskets going, maybe 5. All right, talk to you guys soon. Have a great week. Ciao for now.